Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 10, and then verses 16 to 21. This is a picture of what it was like for the prophets of that day, and certainly for some of the prophets today, real prophets. Real prophets. Your whole life becomes reordered. Your whole life is different because your values are the values of God. And God bestows on you a message to deliver to his people. That all has to be confirmed. You don't just say, I'm a prophet from God. That has to be confirmed by those in authority. But we have here one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Jeremiah. And in this passage, he describes what life is like for him because he can't just fully give himself to the here and now because he sees from God's perspective. Listen to what he says. Woe to me, mother, that you gave me birth, a man of strife and contention to all the land. In other words, I always bring difficulty because I'm trying to be the mouthpiece, so to speak, of God. I'm trying to show people what's really important. And, you know, we all hate to have rain fall down on our parade. We do. We want people to agree with us. But the prophets see more clearly what's really going on. They see what this action is that you're performing, for example, they see it in light of eternity. They're given a glimpse of eternity, and they see it in light of eternity, so they just can't fully give themselves to the here and now because they always have the perspective of what does God think of this? What is God saying to us about this situation, rather than just giving in to the, the excitement of the moment. It's a hard role, the role of the prophet, the true prophets. I neither borrow nor lend, yet all curse me. When I found your words, I devoured them. They became my joy and the happiness of my heart. Because I bore your name, O Lord God of hosts, I did not sit celebrating in the circle of merrymakers. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, because you filled me with indignation. In other words, I see that what all these people are celebrating is not really pleasing to you, God. Why is my pain continuous, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You have indeed become for me a treacherous brook whose waters do not abide. And he's complaining to God. And he said, there's no peace for me. But the Lord answered me, if you repent, instead of complaining to me, if you repent so that I restore you, in my presence you shall stand. If you bring forth the precious without the vile, you shall be my mouthpiece. Then it shall be they who turn to you, and you shall not turn to them. I will make you toward this people a solid wall of brass. Though they fight against you, they shall not prevail. For I am with you to deliver and rescue you, says the Lord. I will free you from the hand of the wicked and rescue you from the grasp of the violent. So God promises to be with his prophets. He promises that he will care. But the life of the prophet is not easy. Prophet Jeremiah brought us many words from the Lord. And at the time, many people scoffed, ridiculed, turned away. Where do you hear truth, real truth, being spoken, even if it's not particularly pleasant? Do you hear real truth? Don't scoff at it. Don't ridicule it, even if everyone else turns away. Ask God to give you a hunger and thirst for the truth, wherever it is to be found. God is my refuge on the day of distress. Whether you're the prophet, whether you're those caught up in sin who suddenly see the truth, God is my refuge. God will take us all every one of us who acknowledges him and who seeks him. In the day of trouble, the day of distress, God has to be our refuge, not our money, not our possessions, not our friends, not our job, no matter how much authority and power we have. None of that will be a refuge in the day of distress when God acts. How far have we strayed from the commandments? How far have we strayed from the truth? The prophets see it even today. And they're ridiculed and they're mocked. But the Lord makes some very significant promises. Very significant. I will free you from the hand of the wicked and rescue you from the grasp of the violent. Do you believe that? Prophets don't just speak words. Prophets live lives that indicate clearly what their priorities are. They don't necessarily separate themselves from the world. They live right in the middle of the world. But if you see them and you know them, God has given us prophets down through the ages to lead us to himself. Read the scriptures of the prophets. Read them. Isaiah, Jeremiah. There are many. Read them. Apply what they were saying then to our own day. Pay attention that you might be, when the Lord brings judgment on us, and he will, that we find ourselves among the right people, but most of all, that we find ourselves very near to him. The gospel for today, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." How willing are you to give up everything? I'm not talking about entering religious life. I'm simply talking about the way you live your life. Are you willing to give up the ways of the world, the values, the standards, the priorities of the world? Are you ready to embrace the values that God gives us? See, if you're a disciple, you've got to be definitive. You've got to be clear. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday. That's not the question. Are you a disciple? Are your values God's values? Do you relate to other people as God asks us, love one another as I have loved you? Are we embracing Christ? Are we embracing his word? Is it evident that we're living out of it or not? And if not, what are we going to do about it? One step at a time, one step at a time. But what are we going to do about it? Maybe the first thing we're going to do is stop reading certain magazines. Maybe we're going to turn off certain sites on the web and not use them again. Maybe we're going to stop drinking. If we've given in to any other addictions, drugs, etc., maybe we're going to say, this is the day that I begin to turn around. What am I doing that takes me away from God? What am I doing, even if I'm in church every Sunday, what am I doing with my life that does not reveal the presence of God? It is not evident that I am a disciple of Christ. In fact, it's evident that I'm something totally different. Even though I say, oh yes, I'm a faithful Catholic, I'm in church every Sunday. But how am I living day by day when people see me and when people don't see me? What are my priorities? Where is my time, my talent, as we say today? Where is my time and talent going? Where is my energy going? Where is my money going? Am I clearly a disciple or not? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buy it. He buys it. Brothers and sisters, God is placing before us today. This is not just happenstance. God is placing before us today a call. A call to be decisive. Not just to give lip service to our faith, but to really make those choices that clarify, first of all, for ourselves, and then for those we relate to, that I am truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. And even when things get very difficult, the psalm for today, Psalm 59, tells us, God is my refuge on the day of distress. God is my refuge. Oh, my strength, you cry out to God for the strength you need to be faithful. You cry out to God for the strength to turn away from certain things and turn toward those things that will lead you closer to Christ. Oh, my strength, for you I watch. For you, oh God, are my stronghold. As for my God, may his mercy go before me. May he show me the fall of my foes. And some of our foes are the foes internal to us, right there within our own flesh. The desires, the cravings. And we give in to them again and again and again, rather than becoming the master of our house as God wants us to be, because we have allowed him to become our master forever. And he will enable us to live in such a way that we bring him glory by those things that he has called us to take care of. You are not your own. Paul tells us that so often. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought with a price, and the price was Christ's death upon the cross. You personally were bought with the price of the death of God's own Son for your salvation. Do you acknowledge that? Do you live out of that reality? Or do you simply think that I'm in charge of this, I'm in charge of that, I have this under control, these people will do whatever I tell them? Oh, brothers and sisters, don't let the world be your guide. Let the Word of God, let the presence of Christ, let the life of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you by baptism and confirmation, let the reception of the Eucharist, let all those avenues that God gives you lavishly become your source. Turn to him when you want to go astray. Turn to him when you want to give in to drugs and sex and alcohol. Brothers and sisters, God wants true disciples. He will give you all the grace to be one. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.